Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on RenegadeRadio.com. Also, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn, Radio Public, wherever you're listening to us. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, we're on everywhere. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and boy, this is going to be a good one. This is, you're already singing, you're already excited.
I'm already excited.
I'm here with two Hollywood hyphenates.
I like that.
Well, you both do so much, and you both are international beauties, international talented people. I shouldn't say that in a feminist.
Yes. Yeah, we're in a feminist
shouldn't
theater.
Say that in a feminist theater, yes, but it's obvious.
Yes, yes.
Even the feminists know it's obvious.
And there's more women in this room than men, so there's that too.
There usually is. There usually is.
Interesting.
Well, honestly, I don't know. I think a lot of times women are more interesting than men. You two are definitely more interesting than most men I know.
Oh, well, thank you.
By the way, that is actress, scream queen, I guess you could say, host, former Facebook Live host.
Yes, you really did your research.
No, you'd be surprised. Yeah. That is Vita Ghaffari.
Yeah, you said it right. Woo!
Did you see me? I was like, I hope I get this right.
No, but you said it great. You said it better than like a Persian doctor when they say, Vita Ghaffari, come into the office.
Well, that's because I just had my proctological exam today. But that's all that I'm saying. Yes, yes.
You were in Westwood for that, right?
Yes, Dr. Ghaffari. Yes.
Anyway, I wish.
Yes. And over to my left. It's funny because I know I've seen you before. We don't know where from years ago.
Yes.
I ran into our other guest about a couple months ago. Hadn't seen you in years.
I know. It's been a while.
Yes. That was since the Club Hell days. All sorts of things. And you, musician, singer, songwriter, sometimes actress, fashionista, you're a clothing designer, you're a motivational guru now.
Ooh.
Well, there's all sorts of things. No, because I was on your YouTube page. That's Jacqueline Von Bertz.
Ooh, what a nice.
Did I say that right?
Von Bjerk.
You said the Persian name right. You said the German name wrong.
I'm part German too. Jacqueline Von Bertz. Jacqueline. But I said Jacqueline Von Bertz.
You made her sound French.
It's all about Jacqueline.
Jacqueline Von Bertz. Okay. Formerly the lead singer of Otto's Daughter and now going solo. Before we get started.
Congrats.
No, before we get started, we have a couple sponsors. Audible is sponsoring the show. I know you guys are on the road a lot. Audiobooks.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. We have a deal unprecedented, like nothing you've ever heard they've offered before. Not only do you get any book, and they just came out with an exclusive, Mel B from the Spice Girls. Her autobiography, is the audio portion is only on Audible. You can get a Stephen King book. There's a play of Dracula with Tim Curry, Alan Cumming, and an all-star cast. Whatever you like. One book, 50 Shades of Grey, whatever you want. Is that stupid stuff, whatever you want. So there's something you've wanted to read. I don't know. Mein Kampf might be on there. I don't know what's on there.
I don't think she goes that way.
I don't know who would be reading that, but I doubt that's on there. Who knows? Maybe yes. But I kid. But whatever you like, and you get a book. But not only that, you get two Audible originals. One of them is Patti Smith did a spoken word show.
You get that
free with your book. You can get Stephen Fry, the English comic. He does a whole thing about the gossip and hijinks of Victorian England.
Nice.
You get that free. You get two of six Audible originals. Those are the two I would recommend, especially for this crowd. But you get a book, two Audible originals, 30-day free trial if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm going to say it again, audibletrial.com/DMS. Free book, two free Audible originals, and a 30-day trial. Also, one more sponsor, Doomy's Home Cooking. Are you vegan?
I'd like to be, but I'm, coming where I come from, I like kebab too much. So
Sorry.
But I'd like to be. Sometimes.
Are you vegan?
Part-time vegan.
That's right.
There is such a thing?
We were talking about that. Well, if you go to Doomy's Home Cooking, you will be a part-time vegan, too.
Then I will look into it.
No. And when I say vegan, I mean Mexican food.
Ooh. It's really good.
I had chicken flautas.
Wow.
The biggest faucets I've ever had.
Did it taste like chicken?
It does.
Yes. Oh.
The man is a genius. Pulled pork sandwiches.
Really?
Philly cheesesteaks. Big Macs on the secret menu.
Normally it's like avocado toast with bread that has no like.
No.
Oh,
well,
no.
Well, look at this. Wait a second. Look, what do you see this? I don't know if you ever heard of the Industrial Club Das Bunker.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. They have Das Baker bake stuff like this.
Oh, that's wow. That looks like a chocolate brownie or
mousse. That is, and that's 100% vegan.
Ooh, and it's even better than
it's
the real
so
thing,
good.
Right?
It's just as good as the real thing. I took my parents there. I had a shrimp po' boy.
Nice.
Entirely vegan, delicious.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I go to a Chinese, what do they call themselves? Medical people. They're Chinese herbalists.
Oh, herbalists.
And
okay.
He's like, let me see your tongue. And he's like, you know, too much dairy. So, you know, sometimes right. I think about it.
Well, there's two locations. 16, well, there's actually three because they have one in Toronto, too. So all of our Canadian listeners.
Oh.
But if you're ever in L.A., 1253 Vine Street, Hollywood, California, where the M Bar used to be.
Mm.
That's one. Just opened Culver City. 4140 City Terrace Drive in Culver City. We missed the free Thanksgiving dinner, but you can go there and get Doomy's Home Cooking. Their Next Mex is open. You can get a delicious brownie, whatever you would like.
Wow, they're taking Ooh. Over L.A.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
They got to open a Sherman Oaks location for us Valley people. North Hollywood.
That's where I'm from. Are
you
there?
Yeah. I'm around Valley Village.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, we're all in.
We're neighbors.
Yes.
We should have done this in Valley.
I know.
Come to the big city.
Yeah, because I'm in Tarzana. We could have just met in Van Nuys or something. But anyway, Vita, you were recommended by your agent.
Thank you. Big shout out to the fabulous Joe Williamson.
The fabulous Joe Williamson, you were recommended. We had your co-star in the movie Robo Woman. Donna.
Yes, the lovely Donna Lee Heising, who is outstanding as the lead in Robo Woman. I've had the honor of working with her before. She's incredible.
Now, she's Robo Woman. What do you play?
I play a very sinister woman without giving too much away. I'm the assistant to the evil scientist who is played by legendary actor Mel Novak, who was in Bruce Lee's Game of Death, Chuck Norris's Eye for an Eye. He's like a legendary villain actor.
Right.
And he was in Steve McQueen's Tom Horde. I mean, like his IMDb goes on and on, but I was like his, you know, crony, his evil assistant, and he was an evil doctor, like a mad scientist.
Well, speaking of evil, I read that you grew up in Washington, the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes,
right?
That's like the center of all evil.
Right. And is it true that your parents were diplomats? Is that?
My dad could have been a diplomat, but he chose to be a scientist, but not an evil one.
Oh, good.
My dad worked for NASA. So,
okay, so so this is like typecasting.
Kind
the
of.
Assistant
it's
to
interesting.
The scientist. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the second time I'm playing a scientist. I was a scientist in another film, and in Middle Eastern culture, being a scientist is like being like Michael Jordan.
Really?
So they really respect it. They have a lot of like admiration for it, or like being Michael Jackson or I don't know, like a big, that's a dated reference. It's like being Beyonce.
Right.
So
that's a dated reference too. But
So what do I say?
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Taylor Swift. Ariana Grande.
There you go.
It's like being Ariana Grande. It's like being a cute 20-year-old girl that gets everything handed to her.
Right.
But so.
Except you don't have to go out with Pete Davidson. That's the.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of his. But. He said that mean thing to one of our troops.
Oh, I don't follow him. Go ahead.
It was all over the. It was all over the media.
Fuck Pete Davidson. What about you?
Well, like I said, in those cultures, being a scientist is really revered. So when I played the scientist in another film, Abeyance, it hit all the Persian media newspapers, and usually they write about like intellectual things, but it was. They're like, you know, daughter of so-and-so. And then in one of them, they didn't even mention my dad.
Right.
And a friend of my dad's is like, you know, they didn't mention your dad because he was so smart. And I was like, and people like figured it out already. I was like, that's interesting. So it's funny, like, you know.
So he's the superstar of the family.
My dad was definitely the superstar. And I'll tell you something funny. My family followed me out to California. And I had an agent at the time. And she's like, this was years ago. And she's like, there's this show where they're looking for funny senior citizens. And your dad would be perfect because he's over 100. He lived to be over 100. And he's an ethnic. So he'd be perfect. And I'm like, my
one
dad
of those
is
ethnics,
rich.
Yeah.
One of those ethnics. So she was a New York lady. And it was Betty White's Off Their Rockers. And I was like, Dad, just go for the fun of it. He's like, no. I don't want to.
Right.
And then I'm like, he's over 100. And he doesn't think. I didn't want to be rude. And she wouldn't leave him alone. And she's like, you know, the casting people are really interested.
How many 100-year-old ethnics do you find?
He's over 100. And he's an ethnic. Yeah. And he's got special skills because he's speaks like three or four languages. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And then they were filming a big campaign. I think it was for Tylenol, and they wanted elderly people that had no ailments. And I don't know how they found my dad. Like, right. Some big ad agency in New York called us, and they're like, oh, well, you know, well, what's your mom like? I'm like, my mom is younger. Oh. And then neither one of them was interested. And it was a really, it was
so
like
how much younger?
My mom is like in her 70s now. My parents had a big age. It was like an arranged marriage. But it's funny, my dad was the one that it would always like flirt with like diner waitresses and like his secretaries. People always thought, oh, your mother is so much younger. And it was like the other way around, because, you know, that's like a male-dominated society. As we're in a feminist theater, I'm saying.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's the way. Well, so he grew up in Iran.
He grew up in Iran, and he left when he was like 16. He studied abroad in Europe.
Oh, okay. So you grew up, as I said, you grew up in Washington, D.C.
And raised in D.C. Thank God I don't have Tehran, Iran on my passport. That would, like, in this administration, not to be political, that would be very scary. I'm very grateful every day.
And so, but anyway, so you, obviously your father's a superstar of the family.
Yes.
How did you get the acting bug?
You know, it's funny. I come from a long line, besides my dad, of artists, mostly painters. My mom was an artist. A lot of my ancestors were artists, artisans, sculptors.
Right.
So there was that in my family. There was also a lot of diplomats. I come from a very large and very old Persian family. But yeah, one of my great uncles was like the guy that would draw all the portraits of the king of Iran at the time.
Oh, really?
Wow. So yeah. And at the end of his life, he like lost his eye in a duel. He was trying to stop a duel, and it was a very dramatic life. And my dad was so elderly, he was a little boy when this great, great uncle was around. And he's like, you know, that guy, he led a really tragic life. He was an artist. Do you really want to go that path? But
you don't want to lose an eye.
God forbid. But
Hollywood will take an eye.
It'll take everything. It'll take your eyes, your kidneys, your teeth, your soul. What little bit of a heart you have left. So, but he's like, you know, I originally started out as a journalist. And he's like, well, it's better than being a journalist, because at least when you're a journalist, you're standing out in the cold wanting to interview people.
Right.
So he's like, at least you're like, you know, at least that's different. You get to play a character. But he's like, God, you know, you always see the successful people. You don't see the people that are like trying hard every day. He was very practical.
Yeah, except on the Dark Mark show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny. I was approached to do something about my dad in Iran, but with, you know, all the restrictions and everything, and the fact that Persian tuman and American dollars is nothing,
right.
I kind of forego that idea. But it's funny, when I first started out, I would play like, I call it the hijab. I was a hijab actress.
Yeah, no, I've seen a couple of those. Yeah. Mind Them and See It, you were a hijab
I was a hijab actress, and the guy that played my husband, Max Amini, is now a very successful comic. So, you know, good for him. I don't know if you know him, Max Amini.
I know of him. I've never met him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah. He's from my hometown. And then I did.
So Mind Them and See It. They finally get a racially balanced show, and they have you in a hubby.
And then in a veil. Yeah. And it's a deal. It was at the time they had, and I'm dating myself, Deal or No Deal, and it's Deal or We Kill Your Family.
Well, Mind Them and See It, that dates it just. Carlos Mencia dates it right there. But
yeah, that was my first TV credit, was Comedy Central. And then on the Mindy Project, I played it. And it's funny, it was the pilot, and we had this British director, and he directed the pilots of big shows like Sex and the City, so they treated him like a king.
Right.
He wasn't treated like a regular TV
director.
He's treated
like your father.
Treated well, probably. Well, yeah, my dad was treated really well, but good one. But he was
I'm
like,
full of them.
He's like, I want her, and he pointed to me. I want her to be in a full-on burqa. And then the costume designer that I never met at the time was Persian, and she went on to do like the Virgin Suicides and all these big, you know, Sofia Coppola movies. And she's like, no, she's Persian. She's like, no. I will not allow her to be in a burqa, because that's Afghanistan.
Right.
That's not Iran. Wow. And then women in Iran, this is a modern woman in America. Why are you putting her in a full black hijab with the coat?
Right.
She had like a whole book she put together of Persian women, like, you know, they all have like blonde hair, and they have like a bouffant hairdo, and then they put the veil on top. And he's like, no way. I want her to be a traditional woman. And she's like, that's what traditional women are. They're fighting for their rights. She walked off the set, and then I was left with like three young blonde assistants from the Midwest, and they were trying to cover me up, and they're like, we finally got it right. You have to wear this during lunchtime. And I remember it was so humiliating for me to be on the Universal back.
Wait a second. I can understand for the show as a character. They made you wear it at lunch?
Because they didn't want to unwrap and rewrap me.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, that was messed up. And it was a very warm spring day. And I just, I was treated like, because, you know, people, when you're on the Universal lot, there's people dressed like showgirls. I mean, right. I could be an actor. Yeah. But it was very scary. And I felt like the sad little girl that nobody wants to sit next to in the cafeteria. It was very sad. When I was a hijab actress, I had to, God, that sounds like that should be like the first line of my memoirs. When I was a hijab actress, you have to like use your eyes a lot. Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed is they cut your lines a lot because women from those cultures aren't supposed to talk. So that was very like challenging for me.
Yeah, it's just a close up of you.
So now that I have lines, I'm like, oh my God, I have so many lines. I'm used to like saying a few things that are profound about like my village or something or my husband or my child or whatever. And then like, you know, there's a close up on my eyes with a little hijab thing. Mm-hmm. But I can't really work that anymore because I don't play those things anymore. So yeah, you're right. I made the transition from comedy to other things and hijab to non-hijab.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's a lap coat.
And what a beautiful face. Why would anybody want to cover it up?
Oh, thank you. But you know, it's very good to work the hijab.
I'll take it.
I had like my hints at, like, so I had like seductive hijab lady.
But
I
not only that, you can play other ethnicities.
Yes, and I've been getting that, thank goodness, lately too.
Right. You can play any ethnicity, I would think.
I think it's like when you first...
You got kind of like a Paula Abdul kind of like, what the fuck is it?
Ooh,
I don't know.
I love Paula Abdul. I wish I could sing like her or you know. Yeah.
So anyway, like a Mariah Carey. Like, I don't know what the fuck she is. Whatever.
Wow, but, if I had that voice.
Yeah, well, speaking of great voices, here she is.
Yes.
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Now, what is the town in Germany where you grew up?
It's a very small town. Maybe 5,000 people left in there.
Really?
I call it my little shit town.
Your little shit town.
It's really cute, but this is really boring.
Well, what's it called?
Loops.
Loops, Germany.
The biggest thing, we actually have a brewery, believe it or not.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's Germany.
Okay, yeah.
That's how do you spell Loops?
It's L-U umlaut B-Z, like Loops.
I was hoping there would be an umlaut.
It's in Mecklenburg.
Yeah, it's very metal.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a really cute town. If like people from America go there from a big town, they're like, oh my God, this is so cute. It's like, you know, a little fairy tale town.
Is it near Munich or Berlin? Or
it's near Hamburg.
Hamburg, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so when people say, where are you from? I'm like, from Hamburg, because it's easier.
Can't you just say a suburb of Hamburg? Is it a suburb?
No, it's actually 2 hours away from Hamburg. Oh. It's still
so
way...
It's like
Germany's that big?
There's fields.
It's not that big, but like from my town to Munich, it's about 8 hours with a car. Like, so it's about probably like 14, 15 hours.
It looks so much smaller on a map.
It does, yeah.
So there's like fields.
It's like Texas.
It's like a small town.
Yeah.
So
there's like a lot of woods. Yeah. It's a lot of land.
Right.
Gardens.
And
old people.
Oh.
Well, I thought Lucy would be like all hot young people. Now, how did you?
There's some young people.
You must.
But that's not much work, you know.
I bet everybody's like blonde and they wear the little.
No,
what's the
not.
Outfits you guys wear during
Lederhosen? No.
No.
That's the southern part. That's
what
Bavaria.
What about Bratwurst?
That's Bavaria. But Bratwurst is very, especially for Christmas.
So only in Bavaria they wear those outfits?
Yeah, mainly. They're more traditional. The northern part is not traditional.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So where you were was very traditional.
Very non-traditional.
Non-traditional.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So no lederhosen for you with the little pigtails.
No lederhosen. But for carnival, we do that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cute.
I used to be like in a little carnival troupe, so we would
wear
those.
I'm picturing that right now.
Oh, I bet he's loving that.
You little...
So
next to
so
me in the hijab.
Did you always want to go... Did you always want to go to America? Did you, since you were
you
a little
know,
girl?
I just knew, like, when I was a little girl, I'm like, this cannot be it. Like, I need to get out of here.
You have to go to Los Angeles.
Loops is not it.
I just wanted to be in a big town.
Right.
So I was like, if I could just be in Berlin, you know, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And then I met a friend. I ended up in Hanover, and I met a friend, and we were like, let's go to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. There's a stopover in New York. Yes.
Yeah,
a
stopover in New York.
And New York was it. You know, that was kind of like...
You were a teenager?
Love at first. Yeah.
Teenager?
Yeah. Love at first sight.
Yes.
I was like, this is it. I'm home.
Yeah.
That's my home.
New York or just the United States?
New York.
Okay. And how was it in New York? I mean, it's...
It was awesome at the time I was there. You know, I was really green and I did all the things I never got to do in Germany.
Yeah.
Party a lot.
Yes.
You got it out of your system.
Party a lot and, you know, just see the world more and
right.
different cultures, which mm-hmm. I, you know, my town was just German people.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
we didn't have any multicultural things happening
right.
there, you know.
Was that a shock? Like, you go from
no,
a
small
town in Germany.
No, I loved it. I loved it. I was craving that. I just wanted,
to
you know,
the biggest melting pot in the world.
Oh, it was so awesome. The first few nights we stayed actually like on 42nd Street, like near 42nd Street, like a block away.
It's always the 42nd Street.
Always 42nd
Street. It is. You have to be there. You know? Yeah. 42nd Street. It's nothing like it is anymore now. But,
yeah.
You know. Oh, so you were back then.
That
on
was like the late
Street,
90s.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like porn theaters.
Some of that was still there. Not all of it, but yeah.
Oh, late 90s. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was still, you know, some of it was still there.
Seedy underworld.
Yeah. Like New York, you know.
This is funny because everybody's like, oh, New York is all Disneyland. I'm like, no, go a block over. It's not Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's still there.
I mean, it's cleaned up a lot, you know, over the past.
Gotten very
15,
pricey.
Yeah, trust me, the old New York is right around the corner from the Lion King. Trust me. All you got to do, every time I go to New York, like, it's Disneyland. I'm like, no, there's some shitholes down here. Trust me. There's a crackhead sitting a block away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But they're still there.
So, yeah, late 90s, which was the golden age of industrial music.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's when you formed Otto's Daughter. Was that New York or L.A.?
In New York.
Okay.
Yeah, in like 1999. Oh, my God.
So long ago.
So long ago. Like the Prince song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You thought the era was going to end, so why not start a band?
You know, I was auditioning for bands, and I could never find a band. Everybody wanted a singer that sounds like somebody.
Oh, yeah, especially
back like,
then.
You know, and I'm like, I don't, that they already exist. So that's no point in starting that band, you know? So I started.
And were they looking for male singers or female singers?
I definitely had a lot of bands who were like, oh, I don't know about a female singer, you know? Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was really
You look
weird.
Like a lead singer, though. You've got
thank
that
you.
Look to you.
You've got the
thank
star
you.
Quality.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Always have.
So I, thank you. So I started writing my own stuff, you know, with my back then drummer.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's make a band. Actually, it was just a project, and we didn't know what we were doing. We met this guy at the laundromat, and he's like, what are you doing? Well, we're making music, going to producers, paying a lot of money for making songs.
Mm. Right.
And
washing clothes.
And what?
There's washing clothes, I would imagine, too.
You know? And so he's like, I do computers, so I can build your computer and show you how to do your own thing. So we didn't really know.
Where's this guy? I need a computer.
Yeah.
We didn't know shit.
Late
90s.
Yeah.
We were just kind of learning as we were going along, and that's how we started
writing
songs.
Are you the only German in it?
Yes, I was the only German in it, yeah.
And Otto's Daughter became, now, who's Otto?
Otto was my dad.
Okay, because I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah,
daughter. And I'm sure everybody's asked you that.
I know.
Such a hack question, but I had to ask.
A few people asked me if that was from The Simpsons. I never even watched The Simpsons, so I'm like, who? The bus
is there an Otto?
I guess. So I'm like, definitely not.
No, your father's Otto.
My father was Otto, and he was this grumpy saxophone player, you know.
Love
it. Also, you come from musicians.
He was in a band, and he played the drums and sang and played saxophone. And
so he was
he
like
did cover songs. He did it like he was a party
oh,
band.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
So he's the biggest rock star
like
in your small.
He was a rock star in my small town, yeah.
Yeah.
He would have a day job and then he would go on the weekends and play, you know, shows with his band.
Wow, it sounds like a great indie film, Your Life.
It is. Yeah. It is interesting. Yes.
I can see the collaboration from here, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and then New York, that's when Otto's done. And then when did you get to L.A.?
2003.
Okay. Mm. And had you already put out an album?
That also feels so long ago. Yes. I put out two albums between that.
Right.
The first one was just like that experiment kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, we worked actually with this producer, Neil Kernan. He worked with like a bunch of industrial bands
at the time.
Yeah,
no, he's a big name.
Right,
yeah.
And he mixed it. So we went to El Paso to have it mixed. And then
El Paso, Texas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which
reminded
you a little bit of Germany because it's just
A lot of wide open spaces.
It
was cool. It was really cool, you know? And the food was good.
I bet.
This chef who cooked like all these Mexican food. I was like, yes.
Because you never had it. I mean,
Not authentic.
There's
Mexican
no Mexican food in Germany.
No. I mean, now that maybe is, but yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. Top of Bell here or there.
Yeah. So, we had two albums, and then we came out here, and I came with half of the band. Because I was like, I need to go to LA. I don't know why. I have to go.
You keep doing this.
I know.
You wanted nice weather for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, half the band came. So actually the first show I played in LA was at the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Right.
Doing an acoustic show.
That seems to happen.
That's a great
You know, I was
location.
Like, oh, I don't have a full band. So my guitarist and I were just like, let's just play some songs and see
and
what
how'd
happens.
That go over?
It was pretty fun.
Yeah. But eventually you got a lot
and
of...
And then we put a new lineup together and...
And that's the lineup that got a lot of songs on
a
lot of movies and TV because there's no music industry anymore.
No, there isn't, unfortunately.
Right. And I'm gonna get to because I was shuffling between Otto's Daughter and your solo stuff, and we're gonna get to that in a second.
Okay.
There's a contrast, but So, but you were on the Vampire Diaries. What other shows?
That's awesome.
That was the promos for Vampire Diaries, Melrose Place.
Melrose Place.
Gossip Girl.
Like all the Fox.
Hot shows. One Tree Hill. Yeah.
But it was just all the promos, you know. Yeah. So the entire EP we recorded here.
Right.
With that guy Brian Karlstrom, he did like The Offspring, and
right.
he was amazing.
And yeah. was he the how you got those songs on the TV shows?
No, I did that. I sent it out to some people, and
yeah. Good for you,
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
And so and then what happened? And AutoStar, trust me, in the industrial scene, very hot.
I can imagine.
Very, very hot. Did a lot of touring.
We did, the U.S., yeah.
Did you ever go back to Germany touring?
You know, we did some acoustic shows in Germany. Electric guitar acoustic shows.
Right.
A few. And they loved it. And it was funny because I told Jim at the time.
is that because of visa problems for the rest of the band? Or?
Well, I was going on vacation. And I was like, why not book a few shows? Like, Jim always hated that. But I'm like, I cannot. Because we love what we do, right? It's not.
Yes,
it's never worked for me.
You want to do it everywhere.
It's never worked. Yeah, I'm like, I just want to book some shows and play, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, you play acoustic guitar and I'll just put like a little dance beat behind it. And the Germans love that. You give them like a little
oomph,
and they love it. So it was fun.
No, I love German industrial. That's all. But you still kind of got that beat.
I love electronic music. I love Rammstein. That's my favorite German band.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? My favorite band in the world.
But you understand the words.
I do.
It'd be great to listen to Rammstein and understand the words.
It's great.
You love Pantera. You love metal. You love industrial.
Yeah.
And I've seen you live, and it was great. Now, did you play the small town that you came from?
I did not play there, but I played the bigger town near our town.
And that was fun. And did the rest of the, your
my mom was just like, oh, wow. She's never seen me play, you know. She's like, you're wild.
You're wild. Mom, like, don't you remember?
I know, right? I'm like, I'm your child. Hello.
Yeah, yeah. You're coming back home right now. You're too wild.
Yeah.
That's
great. She did not like my music at first at all.
Right.
And she did not like me doing the stage blood and all that. She's like, why do you have to do that? Why can't you just look pretty, you know?
Oh.
I'm like, I am pretty. Like,
no, you are.
I was trying to be really shocking, and then guys would come up, you're so hot. I'm like, dude, I'm covered in blood. And like, what's wrong with you?
For some guys, I'm sure that's a thing.
You know, guys. Yeah.
It was fun.
Nothing,
like
nothing, yeah.
Yes.
You'd be surprised.
We played a lot of those.
You
shows.
Had, yeah, you had to go to Club Hell. It was
especially in Germany. Where was Club Hell? In Hollywood?
In Hollywood. Oh yeah, but that's where we met. And they had. Like,
did we meet there? Did we play a show? I've seen you all the time at Bar Sinister.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
But I've seen you play. And I've seen you, I don't know if it was Bar Sinister or some other place, but I know I've seen you play.
That was probably already without the blood, though.
And I remember, I don't think I've ever seen the blood, because trust me.
That was back in New York, yeah.
That'd be too much for me, but but she must love what you're doing now. But I'm going to tell you that you're going through a transition. You're going through a transition in that you started out Mind of Mencia.
Yes.
Mindy Project.
Yeah.
You did a little stand-up. You did
very
some sketch.
Very brief career, not like you, sir.
No, well. It's a long and
it's hard,
arduous
no?
career.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Show business. We're three show business survivors. We're still, a lot of people have no idea who we are, and who knows if they ever will, but we're three people that are dedicated to doing what we love.
But I feel like in our niches we're known. In your German niche and your comedy, you know, when you have your makeup on niche and my little Persian niche.
Yeah.
I'm saying in the mainstream if
oh,
you,
right,
yeah.
right.
But I think in L.A. we are known, but you're known for your celebrity interviews.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to tell you, I had a really good, speaking of transitions, I was in a movie that was featured in Variety.
Okay.
And it was over the summer, and that really helped. And the name of the movie was Abeyance. It stars Richard Tyson, Billy Worth, again, the wonderful, fabulous Mel Novak, Jan Birch, Scout Taylor Compton from Halloween.
Is Mel Novak stalking you? What's going on? Is
that well, we have the movie? Same wonderful representation.
Ah, okay. I gotta get together with his agent.
Yeah. The same wonderful manager. So that was just like an amazing experience to work with those amazing actors. The director, Harley Wallen, was outstanding. His lovely wife, Katie, was amazing. So, and it was just, we shot on location in Michigan, and that was just working with people like Richard Tyson and Mel and Jan and all of them. It's like, it really is an interesting experience as an artist.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, you know, more doors opened, and then that got me into like the Persian media, and I'm currently guest hosting on a really popular Persian show on their number one network, ATV Andisha, and they have millions of viewers worldwide. So that's been a great
Now,
ride.
Do they make you wear the...
No. No, it's based in Woodland Hills. It's international. I think it's broadcast everywhere, including Iran, believe it or not. And I don't know how they do it. I guess they go through the satellites or something. I don't know how they right. finagle it, but they do.
So people in Iran are watching you in Woodland Hills.
People in Iran are watching me in Woodland Hills. And the funny part is my parents are both from Tehran, but ancestrally my mom's side of the family is from northern Tehran, and my mm-hmm. dad's side of the family is from a city called Kashan. And apparently every time I'm on the show, like, relatives call or email us, and they're like, your daughter's on the show with the yeah. Susie lady, and just wanted to let you know
yeah.
her Farsi's getting better. Sometimes we do it in English, sometimes we do it in Farsi.
Oh, okay.
But that's kind of cool.
No, I've seen you. I've seen your YouTube page. I've seen you interview people in English and Farsi.
Yes, and I it's funny because it's a homecoming for me, because I used to be their red carpet reporter for like movie premieres.
Right, right. And I saw my favorite, because you're just so positive.
Thank you.
You're
I try to be.
So unlike me. You're so positive. You're like my favorite one. There's my two favorites. When you interviewed Martin Short.
Oh my God, I love
him. You're so amazing. This is an amazing movie. Your performance is amazing. What do you think about it? And he's like, I got a word for it. Amazing.
Yes. What you guys
don't
see.
With that perfect timing.
Exactly. With his perfect timing. What you guys don't see is when I'm standing in the press line, when I was with Persian TV, I was usually at the end of the press line. And,
right.
you know, everybody, all the producers from Extra and ET are always motioning to people like Martin Short. So I got to get their attention somehow.
How'd you do it?
Because I kept saying how amazing he was.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I was
he's an egomaniac, basically.
Not him, but, like, I'm saying is, like, the, you know. The
and other, he can be. He's very talented. He's great. He's one of my favorites.
There's, like, hordes of people back there trying to get their attention. Yeah. So it was very challenging for me. And I'd be, like, by a bush
right.
or by, like, the railing. They wouldn't put me in, like, the best spot. So you really had to, like, work for it. Eventually you get to meet more people, and the press people, the PR mm-hmm. people are like, here, we'll move you closer to Extra.
Right.
But, you know, it's like when you're starting out, you really want to, like, hey.
No, I know.
What's the question? You know.
And you realize if I ever run into Martin Short in a restaurant or on the street, I'm going to, hey, you're amazing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just try to get his attention. And my other favorite was, and I don't, it's like Rammstein. I didn't even understand it, but you interviewed the Iron Sheik in Farsi. That
yes,
was
I did.
The wrestler.
Yes, I did. I did, and I actually went to his roast at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he seemed to be just as insane in Farsi as he was in
yes,
English.
Yes, and but you know he's a lovely man. I don't know if you saw the documentary, and we spoke mm-hmm. later in Farsi. He had a family tragedy. He lost his daughter.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Really been through a lot. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, no, you know.
Now you know.
Yeah. He's a little crazy.
He's a little kooky.
Something's happened. Something has happened in his life. But you started out doing comedies.
Yes.
And now you're doing mainly horror movies.
I do a lot of horror movies. Lately, I've...
Is this intentional? Is this...
I think it's
just... Your agent? Is
yes,
this
it's
something?
Having representation that believes in you. And I'm like, you know, I'm used to doing stuff with an accent.
It's like you're a better screamer than you are a joke teller. Let's try to get you in the zone.
I guess so, yeah. I'm very good at being scared.
Yeah.
I'm always very scared.
Yeah.
I'm a very nervous, uppity woman.
Are you really?
Yes, I'm a very nervous...
When was the last time you were really scared in your real life?
I had like a very scary dream last night. I'm on allergy meds, so I had very frightening. I get frightening dreams. Just being on these sets, hearing about your blood, it's just scary to me.
Yeah.
Seeing Donna, like her transition in Robo Woman, was scary to me. You know, everything is scary. Even if it's fake, I get scared.
I saw the trailer, but I got to see the whole transition. But there was a movie you were in last year that you got a lot of attention for. I'm trying to think the name of it.
Holy Terror. Oh, yeah. That was really something.
And I was meaning to watch it. I didn't have a chance this week. How scary is that?
It was very scary because we had to film a scene in a church basement, and we didn't want the church people to know that I was getting exorcised.
Yeah, they call her the Persian Linda Blair.
Yeah, for that one. That really helped. And what happened, I think... Those kinds of things go on satellite, so people would see snippets of it in the Middle East, and it would get, like, dubbed and stuff, which was very cool. But with that film, they were having their, like, Christmas parades, like rehearsals upstairs. So like I was being like exercised and thrashed in the basement while they were. It was very funny. It was scary but funny. Right. But yeah, it was a great experience. So once again, I work with the amazing Mel Novak, the lovely Christine DeBell from Meatballs and The Big Brawl. She's a really renowned actress as well. So that was great. I did another horror this year again with the amazing Dustin Ferguson directing Runaway Nightmare, which was based on After School Specials. And again, the lovely Donna Lee Heising is in it as well. It's a big ensemble cast. But my heart really lies with the Abeyance and Robo-Woman, and not just because Donna's in it and Mel's in it, but also we have in Robo-Woman, we have Brink Stevens, who's the ultimate scream queen.
Right.
We have Sue Price, who's in the Nemesis 2-5 franchise.
Right.
Great actress, Aki Ali-Young, who's a legendary Asian-American actor. He was in V. He was in all sorts of shows and movies, just and very a real...
Well, you just had me at the concept of, RoboCop, but it's a beautiful woman. You got me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful woman. It's a retribution film. It's a sci-fi thriller. It's an action film. And we're in the feminist theater. It's a women's empowerment film without giving too much away. And Dustin,
I should have never told you it was a feminist theater.
I can kind of tell. I see like 20 women outside. No, you know, that's kind of a hint.
But the bathroom. How great was that?
20 women outside, and they're not dressed to the nines in Hollywood. Yeah. You know, they're not. They don't have their sashes. With all due respect to beauty queens like Donna. It's like 20 women that are, you know, dressed like improvisers.
Yeah, I hate to sidebar like this, but when this was the Nerdist, people were in amazed in the bathroom. People come out of the bathroom, they're like, "Oh my, it's amazing." You know, first off, it's clean.
Oh yeah, it's very clean.
I don't know if it was clean was the Nerdist, and then
no, you're right. This is the cleanest
tampons
theater.
And the whole thing.
It's the cleanest theater bathroom I've ever been in.
Yes, so. People,
more than UCB.
Yeah, people go crazy for the
bathroom. Yeah, it was pretty clean. I was like surprised for a minute, but then I realized who runs the theater.
And of course, this podcast studio does double as a lactating station, but I don't know if that's ever actually
done.
Yeah,
but I don't know if people actually do that.
They're more than welcome to. But yeah. So I mean, you were featured in Scare LA. You were signing autographs there. How did that work out?
It was wonderful. You know, my attorney, Nadia Davari, is the attorney for Scare LA.
Ah.
So I also did a panel with her. Not really a panel. I moderated like a Q&A session with her.
Okay.
So, and I was also at Scare LA. And
right.
It was a great experience. It's the first convention that kicks off the Halloween season.
Right.
It's in the summer.
It's a horror convention.
Yeah, yeah. And Laura, the gal that started it, she's German or Eastern European or something.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Ivanova,
right?
Talking about women that are extraordinary. She started Scare LA, and she's an entrepreneur. She has nothing to do with horror or filmmaking or producing, and she just wanted to start this.
Right.
And she did.
No,
so it's impressive.
I love it. I was there a couple of years ago, and I might. Who knows? I might panel next year. Who knows?
Yeah, totally.
I know a lot of people there. But I mean, did people recognize you? Did you sell a lot of merch? Or
yeah, they did, because those kinds of people are the true horror fans. It's not just the big blockbusters; they see the indie films. It was an interesting experience for me.
So the Persian Linda Blair, the word's getting out.
Yeah, yeah, and someone is like, "You should take a picture near the Linda Blair statue because you're the Persian Linda Blair." And I'm like, "Isn't that a little bit much?"
Yeah.
So a little on the nose.
And in Iran, what did you think? I got it. In Iran, what did you think of the? The Persian Linda Blair, are they embracing that?
You know, Iranian people love horror films, believe it or not. They're starting to make a couple of their
horror
films.
Yeah, they're human beings. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, no, but they really love horror. Like I guess Asian people love horror films. Mm-hmm. They're fanatical about it. But I think a couple of their films even went to Sundance. But it never really goes very far because a lot of people don't watch subtitled movies.
Right.
Mm.
So it's interesting. It's weird that my movie is probably, people probably see it in Iran, but here they watch Iranian movies. Like the Iranian community watches Iranian movies from Iran, so it's interesting.
Have you been in any Iranian movies?
Not recently, no.
Okay, but
I like the oldies.
Okay,
I like the old retro.
Right. Well, it's funny because that's changing too. A lot of people are watching subtitles.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Taste of Cherry, like those kinds of movies are.
Right.
So the horror movies are too scary. Persian movies. I get scared.
A Taste of Cherry. That's a Persian movie.
Yeah, it's a Persian movie by this guy. He was the head of the jury of Cannes. His name was Abbas Kiarostami. When I was a journalist, I interviewed him. We lost him a few years ago, but he was a big deal. He ran the whole jury at Cannes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Juliette Binoche was in one of his movies.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And she kissed him on the cheek, and then it caused an international scandal.
Right. Well, speaking of international scandals, I don't know if you know this, but sitting across from you is the woman that was voted the second worst dress at the 2017 Grammys.
I loved it.
You look amazing. You so I much, love that shirt.
You got so much publicity from that.
Yes. I mean, that's what you have to do at the Grammys anyway. If you, unless you're a really big star, and you, then you can dress really, you know, pretty and whatever. And then,
old school Hollywood
and,
glamour.
Yeah, yeah. But I, and it's also, you know, it's
and
the
Grammys.
And
then that CeeLo for taking the number
CeeLo,
one spot.
Yeah, I was CeeLo. I think Lady Gaga. I was in good company.
Well, no, you were, CeeLo was number one. You were number two.
I was number two, yeah.
I think Lady Gaga was number three.
Yeah.
But or maybe Girl Crush was up there.
Yeah.
But I describe your dress.
I love it. Oh, the CD dress or the vampire dress?
I like the vampire dress. But the CD dress is what really got your attention.
The CD dress, yeah.
You made a dress out of CDs.
Yeah. It was like lace and then CDs put on it. Andre Soriano, the designer.
Yes, I've met him before. He's a character.
Yes, he is. And so he's been my clothing guy, my dress guy for the Grammys for the past two times I've been, you know.
And you didn't go to 2018?
I did not go. It was in New York, and I just couldn't make it for that one.
Oh, okay. And you love New York.
I do love New York. I know. But it was kind of crazy because it was smaller. Yeah. So it was really, you had to be really like on point with everything. Like,
right.
I kind of missed the boat on that.
Well, I like the vampire, obviously. I like the vampire dress.
It was fun.
And then the CD dress I could see. Now, was that a... was that a statement about the disposability
exactly, you know? It's like how the music industry changes and how it's become pretty much obsolete, you know?
I mean, you really entered the music industry right when it died.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that feel?
You know, I think it didn't die. I think it's better than it's ever been in the sense
that... Well, it's not as lucrative as it was.
Well, I think it is.
But more exposure, too?
Well, because you have... All the gates are open now, you know? Yeah. There's no more the big players and they control everything. You can reach out to any music supervisor, to any music like library,
right,
to get your music placed. You know, licensing is the new A&R, really.
Yeah.
You know, getting your songs placed.
Well, that's
TV
the radio.
You know, exactly. You know, so I think it's better now because you have Instagram, you have YouTube, you have Snapchat.
Yeah.
You know, you have all these platforms that you can really just go and build your audience.
Because my theory has always been that's why everybody's doing comedy now. Because a lot of people that would have formed punk bands and indie bands, they're doing comedy now.
I feel that's so much harder.
It's way harder, but well, you know? It depends. I can't sing worth a shit, but you've been solo for how long?
Since actually 2013.
Right.
But I've been focusing mainly in the studio on TV music, so I've been doing a lot of instrumental music for music libraries and stuff like that.
Well, see, I was on the way here, and actually all day today and yesterday, I was I was on Tidal, and I was going back and forth between your Sodal stuff and Otto's Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was very schizophrenic.
Really?
Playlist. It's because you're not drenching yourself in blood anymore.
No.
But you're not doing songs like Kiss My Ass anymore.
No.
Wow. Kiss My Ass, really?
Oh.
Well, but it's more like electro.
A devil.
Pop metal?
What was it? Devil's.
Oh, Devil's Paradise?
Devil's Paradise.
Old, yeah.
Right. So I was going between that and the songs now are like, let me see here.
Feel the love.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you did
more
your Christmas album.
It's a bit more. I want to turn this off.
It's still dance, but it's a sunnier dance.
A bit more ambient, yeah. A bit more ambient and
right.
Yeah,
it's you've gone from
little retro-ish.
On the top Otto's Daughter songs on Tidal are Useless.
Eins, zwei, drei.
Yeah.
We talked about that before.
Hail.
Those are old songs. Those are really
old songs. Yeah, you got Kiss My Ass, you got Useless, Fucking You Back.
That's my favorite, one of my favorite songs too.
Fucking, well, me too. And then
all the songs are clean except that song.
Jacqueline is like, Don't Walk Away, Feeling Lovin'.
I guess you got to get your
Feel
eggs
Alive,
out that one.
Hand in Hand, Feel the Beat.
Oh, Hand in Hand. So that is actually a collaboration with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
That's in German. It's that kind of like Schlager kind of thing.
Feel the Beat.
Feel the Beat, yeah. That's my little dance song.
So you've gone from industrial, and it's still dance,
yeah,
and it's still good.
Thank you.
But it's more like you would hear in a regular club.
Oh, right.
Do you ever go to Fetish Nation, the club? They used to have a club here in Hollywood where it was a huge dance club, and they had like the EDM people here.
Sounds like the early 2000s.
And then they had like an industrial club
over
here.
Wait, was that across from Bar Sinister?
No, it was down the street. It was like on Highland. Oh. But They had like S&M and industrial and all this stuff on one room.
Wow, like S&M actual, like whip.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's where we used to hang out.
So like some guys getting beat up by like a foxy tall woman with dark hair.
Oh, and girls are getting
Too.
I always see some. I always think of some guy who's like a CEO by day because I see these documentaries on Netflix. And then like he's like zippered up at night and like some
Jacqueline
tall
knows,
lady.
Knows about this.
Some tall lady with like dark hair is like beating him up.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically what you're saying is what you this.
Yeah. So these things would happen, but in the main room they would just have this regular dance club, EDM. So this is more, you know, your Electric Daisy Carnival sort of EDM, I know you do.
Yeah.
And it shows because they're both good and you can feel the passion in both. It's two different sides of the coin.
Yeah. I actually have a side project called Reva Eva, and that's a bit more the EDM kind of dancey stuff.
Right.
More techno, almost German techno kind of thing.
Okay.
European techno. And then the Jacqueline Van Beek is a bit more. I feel like
more
I'm
poppy.
All over the place. Yeah, yeah.
I like European techno.
You know, but also the ambient dark, I still love. I mean, I love
have
the dark stuff.
I have some Otto's Daughter fans. Rebelled because you're
some people are like, oh, I love the Otto's Daughter stuff, you know, and I'm like, well, you know,
it's there.
And I mean, at this point, I don't know if I'm going to reform the band at any point, you know, I don't know. I would love to have a band, you know, I would love to really like that's my goal for 2019. It would be nice to have a band.
Can you get
again,
some
you know?
Of the Otto's Daughters that came with you to go? You have to start fresh.
I would love to start fresh,
but not only are you doing this music, but you on YouTube, I have your blogging and your vlogging and motivational things.
I just love to be positive, you know, kind of what you were saying, like, and partially also to just cheer myself up sometimes, you know, because we feel like it makes
it's
you feel
town.
Good.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
makes you feel good and to make others feel good, right? Because.
But you like every Monday, you have like a little
Monday motivation. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Motivation Monday. I try to be more consistent on it, but it's hard.
You're not motivated.
I know. It's not that I'm not motivated. It's just like time, you know.
Ain't that a bitch? It's Motivation Monday. I'm not motivated.
Yeah, that should be the next one. I'm not motivated at all.
Yeah.
But it's more about just.
I was hanging out with Mark again, and I'm not motivated.
I just want to hang out with Mark.
Yeah.
God, it sounds like you guys go to fun places with those guys getting beat up.
We'll take it. I know plenty of those places.
Oh, I don't know. I'm too dorky for you guys.
Oh, you would love it. You would love it.
Fun for me.
And they would love you,
They would love you. They would love you.
Fun for me is like having Baskin Robbins ice cream and watching like Amazon Prime.
That's fun too. That's fun too.
Or I have to have the vegan ice cream rather than your sponsor.
I have Baskin Robbins. It's okay. But you're also designing clothes.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for how long?
You know, I've been doing it for a long time with my own stuff as Otto's Daughter. I've always done my own
and jewelry.
Stage outfits.
Yeah, I love the jewelry.
I didn't do the jewelry. I have to admit that I didn't make that. But I'm selling it on my side. But
I would have just lied. I would have just said it's mine.
Oh, it's all mine. I do everything.
But you have again with the positivity of the guardian angel necklace.
Yes,
it's very
exactly.
positive.
Yeah,
and then the Swarovski crystals.
Yeah, I love Swarovski. It's just high quality. The clothing line it started with the sun protective shawl because I walk my dog a lot,
right.
And I'm out in the sun a lot, and I don't like it because I don't want to get burned.
Your shirt is from your line.
This is my line too,
Yeah.
But the shawl is designed to just like protect the skin from sunburn.
Oh, right.
Skin cancer and premature aging. So that's how kind of started.
Right.
Because I always wanted to do it, but I'm like, I don't have the time.
Right.
But when I had that idea, a lot of my friends were like, you gotta just.
You have that fair German skin and.
Actually, I used to be so dark, like in the summer, I would always just lay out, you know. But that was then, that was now, you know.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Now
you gotta take care of your skin.
Exactly. Well, skin looks good to me.
Thank you.
So, and then that just started, and then everything took off from there.
In September, I started it. I was kind of, you know, it's always scary when you start something.
Yeah.
And,
so this is recent.
It was just totally recent. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I like my friend Eli James, he has his own clothing line, Ghost Circus. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with him before, like a year ago. And I was like, man, I really want to do this. But I didn't have my shit together. And then this year, I was like, yo, Eli, can you help me out here? I need to find a manufacturer. I want to do this. And he kind of just helped me. And Desi Design, I have to mention her. She's amazing.
Right.
She really, really helped me.
Okay.
She was just guiding me. She's a great seamstress as well.
Yeah. Would you ever do your own Grammy dress, or you leave that to
Anne Marie
Soriano?
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
I'd be curious to see what your ideas
are. In 2019,
Do
you have something in mind?
I do not yet.
It'll come.
It's got to be something crazy.
You got to top the last one.
Yeah, you know.
That's why, yeah.
Because you do want, as a you know that as a reporter, right? Like an interviewer, you want attention. You know, that's
you
the whole
point. You have to
stand
out.
You have to
stand
out.
You have to be
out.
An individual.
Yeah, an individual. Yeah, 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 yeah. And so it's got to be true to you and then also stand out. You know, that's
And how did the interviewers take to you?
You know, a lot of them, you have to be there at the right time, because once Lady Gaga shows up, or Adele, yeah, all these yeah. people. You know.
And the press line is very cramped, I would
imagine.
It's
very cramped, you know, so they obviously, timing is everything.
Right.
So we had a few interviews, it was fun, you know.
I'm sure, who are you was the first question.
Of course, who are you and who are you wearing, you know, and what does it mean, you know.
Right. That's great. I'm glad you made a splash.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you get it? Did
it
you
was
get,
fun.
Yeah, did you get an uptick in streaming after that?
Absolutely, yes. Got some more fans, they're like, oh, I saw you at the Grammys, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like in a couple of years, I would love to hold a Grammy.
Yeah, I would love for you. I would love for you to hold a Grammy. Why not?
That's the goal.
But what's the group that you were doing some techno music with? There was a group that you were doing stuff with. I have to look it up. But
not Reva Eva, right?
No, that's so there was another project. One. Cold something, or I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
You've been doing a lot of guest vocals too.
A lot of guest vocals and just a lot of collaborations.
Right.
You know, for placements and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, have you performed at any EDM festivals? Or?
I have not. It's all on my list for next year. Like, I'm really aching. I'm a performer at heart, and I love performing. And the one thing I love the most, I haven't done in a long time.
Right.
You know, so that's
more glitter, less blood.
Both. Let's do both.
Okay, let's do both. Speaking of blood, boy, where does the time go? I was going to ask you. Now, I also read that you are the first Iranian that was inducted to the Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
Yes, I've done kickboxing, but I'm taking a break because I sound like such an old lady. Tendonitis in my right shoulder.
Aww.
But working with people like Mel, and I know a lot of like actors and martial artists, it was like, I would get a lot of training and hints and tips from them, mostly how not to get injured in an action scene. But yes, I was very honored to be a part of that.
How is that possible?
Because I've done kickboxing.
No, not you. I mean, there had to be somebody that I know that's Iranian.
I couldn't
artist.
Believe it. I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it either. They flew some guy in from Israel. I would think maybe they're all in Iran and they can't
maybe get
out of
the visas.
Maybe they're
trying to get a fight between you and him.
I have nothing against the Israeli guy.
I'm sure he had nothing against Iran, but who knows?
When he found out I was Persian, he was actually like even nicer to me. Isn't that crazy? I was like, oh yeah, very cool.
I'm not saying him, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying maybe the promoters are like, hey, we can solve the Middle
East
crisis right here.
Yeah. So it was put on by the amazing Jim Thomas and Lori Thomas. They're fabulous.
You're that good a martial artist?
That's pretty good, but I'm no Mel Novak. I'm no, like, I don't know. Right. I'm trying to think of some others, like TJ Storm. And I'm not like those guys. You know, they're like, you know.
But you're Hall of Fame worthy. Are you a black belt?
Not a black belt. I've just, you know, for me, it was never a competition. For me, it was.
So you're a Hall of Famer, but not a black belt?
Well, I've done a lot, but I've just taken
you
classes.
You could have said you're black belt.
Yeah, just say it.
Oh, yeah, Bob Wall, all these incredible people, they've advised me. But, you know, for me, it was always
good for you.
But for me, it was always like, I'll tell you why I really enjoyed it, because it was great for weight loss and it was great for like motivating myself, being positive.
Yeah.
Why are you cracking up? You're making me crack up.
Maybe that's a good one for Motivational Monday.
Yeah, it's a good one for Motivational
Monday. Oh, there
you go.
Yes.
I miss my flat stomach. I want to get back into it.
Yeah, but you injured yourself on Robo-Woman or another movie?
I injured myself. I don't want to get into which movie, but let's say it was very dramatic.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a love scene or what was
No.
It?
Oh, that's what I thought.
No, we're all thinking the same thing.
I was pushed against a chair and like the backs of the chair
so it was
kept
a love
hitting
scene.
My shoulder. I was like getting beat up.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and sometimes it comes, sometimes it goes. I feel like I'm an old lady. I got to put Salon Pass on my shoulder and it smells like Ben Gay. It's very depressing.
CBD oil.
Really?
Wah, wah. Oh, yeah. I have to do that. Yeah.
See
you
that?
Drink it?
You just take a few drops.
Oh. Does it get you high?
No.
Unfortunately,
our producer might know different, but it. And
that's why you take
I'm
a
sure
few drops,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like Ben Gay, I'll tell you that.
I guess so, yeah.
You'll be eating a lot of Baskin Robbins after that.
Or I actually lately like, what is that brand? They have a store in Studio City. They're not your sponsors. I got to try your
sponsors.
That's
sponsor. Okay. No. You
Haagen-Dazs I like too. It's very German. Oh, raisin.
That's old school.
Yeah.
Raisin.
Watch Goliath and have my Haagen-Dazs.
I was surprised. I was in the supermarket. I was surprised they're still in business. Haagen-Dazs used to be huge.
You know, they still have like 20 brands at the local Ralphs and Gelson's.
Right.
Yeah. And then, too much Haagen-Dazs, not enough kickboxing.
Like, you're in great shape. Look at me, please. You want to see something that's out of shape?
Yeah, but that's your shtick.
Yeah, that's my shtick.
That's your shtick.
That's my shtick. I want to be out of shape. That's my shtick.
Yeah, but if
I'm the out of shape comedian, that's my shtick.
If you were a thin comic, would you be as funny?
Well, let me put it this way. It's 2018. And? Most of the comics are thin and good looking, so I'm out.
Not.
But you're still in.
No, I was driving by the Laugh Factory, and they had the comics for tonight, and I swear, except for Sarah Shepard, they all look like models.
Oh, you
might want to get back into it. I don't know.
Oh, you're too kind.
Maybe not. But anyway, before where does the time go? What were you going
to
say?
Can I sneak out real quick to put?
Well, we're ending right now.
Are you ending right now?
We're ending right now.
Okay.
So anyway. Jacqueline, you've got so many things. This guy, it goes by so fast.
It does.
And when it's a good show. Jacqueline, tell us all about what you have. How do we get a hold of you, your YouTube channel, any music you want to promote. You have a Christmas album that came out last year.
I did last year, yeah.
Oh, cute.
I forgot to even
mention
that.
Those are old songs, yeah. But I had to release them. And they're all kind of really sad. Yeah, they're kind of sad. I used to be really sad. And then I wrote a really fun
Are you sad on Christmas?
Song. Normally I am, ever since my dad passed away. But then I wrote a really fun song like Santa Baby, Let Me Be a Ho, Ho, Ho. It's more fun.
So anyway, let everybody know how to get hold of
So JacquelineVanBierk.com.
Yes.
And my fashion line is Jack Van B.
JacVanBee. Right.
So everything Jacqueline Van Bierk, I'm under all that.
Right.
Yeah. Dankeschön.
So great talking
thank
to you.
Thank you. It's so great being here. Meeting you.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
Great
yeah.
meeting you.
Great chemistry in the room. I thought you guys would get along great. And awesome. Vita, tell everybody what you got going on, how people get a hold of you, any movies you have coming out.
Right on. We'll just wrap Robo Woman and Runaway Nightmare should be on various platforms. Abeyance, just wrap that as well. That's in post. I also shot a film, The Untimely Demise of Miranda Vale. So that should be coming out soon. And I'm also reoccurring on this Suspense show on XM Satellite Radio at Rally Studios.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm very excited about that one.
I forgot to mention that. I did see that.
It's a precursor to The Twilight Zone. So, and this is the remake. So
that's
they've
cool.
had great actors on it, like Marilyn Gigliotti, and just, you know, great, great talent. And honored to be a part of that. And you can find me on social media at my name, Vida Ghaffari, VIDAGHAFF, like Frank, ARI. And you can also find me at So Very Vita.
Yes. And don't sell yourself short. You're a great talent as well.
Oh, thank you.
How do you say have a wonderfully creepy week in Farsi?
How do you make creepy?
How do you say that in German?
Wait. Inshallah, hafte vashatnaki dashte bashi.
And how do you say that in German?
Habt eine super grausame Woche.
Have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.